Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now, covering the week's biggest topics in wrestling, pop culture, sports, and more, this is NAI Live with Jason Maltoff, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
If I have something to prove, it's that I want to prove that your creative process, the WWE's creative process, sucks. It does not work. It's absolutely terrible. And I've said that to Vince. I've said that to Hunter. I've said that to Michael Hayes. I can't even tell you how their system works. It's some kind of system of meetings that take place in Stamford, and there's a home team. There's writers and producers and production meetings, and nobody knows what's approved and what's not, and like the bureaucratic red tape you have to go through to get anything approved. It's crazy. It doesn't work. It's killing the company, I think. I think Vince is the problem. And not so much Vince, but Vince and whatever the structure that he built around himself, probably starting in, like, I'd imagine, like 2002, and he started building this infrastructure around himself, this team of writers and whatever, and producers, and however he does it, and this is how WWE is, and this is what the product is. The product sucks. Great talent. Amazing talent. None of this is their fault. You know, so I'm hoping, if I had a goal with AEW, it's that we could prove that Vince's way sucks. I mean, this is not what I'm going to focus on, because it's not about competing with WWE. I don't think that's any of our...
It's an alternative.
It's any of our mission.
Yeah.
We're just going to be over here doing our best, putting on our best product. If a byproduct of that is it pushes WWE to reevaluate their creative process, and it makes Vince, not that he's going to step aside, we all know he's going to die in the chair, but maybe he'll listen to somebody else's ideas. Maybe he'll be open and do it in a different way.
So that was a clip from Talk Is Jericho, episode 564. With one and only John Moxley.
Yep, absolutely. You can find Talk Is Jericho on all major platforms.
Westwood One, iTunes.
Exactly. And shout out to a terrific, terrific interview conducted by Chris Jericho and laid out by one John Moxley now. This is going to be my thing where, like, I'm so glad they're the Charlotte Hornets again. Because
yeah.
Charlotte Bobcats was like, that was going to be my old man thing. My old man thing in sports is definitely going to be that I'm going to call them the San Diego Chargers.
Forever.
My whole life. I'm going to be that guy. It's like,
or the St. Louis Rams.
Right. It's going to be like, Grandpa, they moved to, you know, L.A. It's like, right. No, they didn't. And it's going to take me a long time to not call him Dean Ambrose, but I will, because this is a whole other guy. This isn't Dean Ambrose.
This is a whole other guy.
And we're going to talk all about his interview on Talk Is Jericho. His appearance, our takeaways from that. We will also preview. It happened. We'll give you our full reactions to Double or Nothing, which was a big show.
Yeah.
And Dean Ambrose, John Moxley being a big part of it and one of the bigger takeaways of the event. So we've got a lot to talk about tonight. And so let's jump into it. If it's your first time joining us on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, welcome and thank you. My name is Jason Maltoff.
I'm Liam Sharker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us right here every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, as well as on Twitter, including during these live broadcasts, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville. NAI, the website where we got everything going on, the friends, the shows, the affiliates. Jamie and Scotty are doing awesome things at For the Pops. Jamie and Rich are doing amazing things at Let the Chaos Begin. Of course, the stalwarts, the tentpoles of NAI, DC and Doc, DC and Doc Talk. They got the list going on. They got everything going on at NewAgeInsiders.com. And altogether, you have made us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard, and fans of all universes, by the way. But yeah, let's talk about the good stuff, because this is what everybody's talking about, and I'd like to as well. I took notes.
Ooh.
I'm prepared. I'm very prepared. It's almost like I know what I'm doing one day. But I have a lot of takeaways. So before we break into minutia, Bill and Liam, just initial thoughts. Like, you walked away thinking this about Dean Ambrose, mm-hmm. and you walked in thinking this about Dean Ambrose, and you walk out feeling this way about Jon Moxley.
Bill, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I was really, really impressed with the interview with Chris Jericho. You know, I kind of expected it not to the level of CM Punk, but I did expect it to be sort of a bitch fest. But I was really impressed with how professionally Jon Moxley handled that interview, and he didn't really bash anyone. It sort of just kind of gave people a peek behind the curtain of what actually goes on in the creative process, and I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I walked in being meh about Dean Ambrose, and it also seems that John Good is meh about Dean Ambrose, too. Right. So, I mean, the quote that kind of sticks to me about how I felt about the character of Dean Ambrose is exactly something that he said in this interview, that he hates his own character. He looks in the mirror and he absolutely hates him. And
made him sick.
It made him sick. And I've been there with a job before where you get there and immediately every bit of you just in the pit of your stomach just tightens up.
Yeah,
I don't belong here. This isn't right. It's not a good fit. This isn't what I want to do. And I have to change. It's making me sick every time I walk in this building. And so I've been there. So I understand that. And yeah, I didn't really care about the character of Dean Ambrose. And time will really tell if Jon Moxley is somebody I can get behind.
Yeah, right. That's fair.
You know, because, yeah, you showed up at the end of a show. Yeah, you're Scott Hall. You showed up at the end of a show and you were hot and it was cool. You talked a big game here and now I want to see what you actually do with it. I do think that you shifted my mentality a little bit about the Brock Lesnar WrestleMania match a little bit because it does feel like it was more.
I always blame Brock for that. I always blame Brock for that. See, that's the thing, like that. So I'm with you that my whole opinion on Dean Ambrose has always been like, bleh, 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 you know what I mean? And right. So that's the sound I make when I think of Dean Ambrose.
Can you recreate that?
Bleh, 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 you know what I mean? Like, that's Dean Ambrose where it's like, bleh, 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 you know what I mean?
Wow,
like
another one.
Yeah, just I at least have the pattern down. You know what I mean? Like, right. That's always been Dean Ambrose. It's just like, bleh, 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 you know what I mean? And now I get that he, like you said, he also thought Dean Ambrose was, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he also did. And so, like, I am not going to pretend. Like, one of the things I've never done on the show is try to pretend like I know stuff that I don't, right? I might think I know some stuff I don't, but if I don't know it, I'll tell you. I do not know the extensive repertoire of Jon Moxley and CZW. I've seen clips and matches people have sent me and stuff, but I'm not going to be that guy to be here and be like, let me tell you the nuance I hope he establishes from his 2007 days. I don't know. I just know that it looked more interesting. Like, he looked like he was having more fun.
Right.
And they sucked the fun right out of him. That's the biggest takeaway. And because I've got all sorts of things I want to talk about specifically with you guys. But the biggest takeaway was that guy loves wrestling. He loves being a professional wrestler. And at no point in that run do I think he felt like a pro wrestler.
Right.
And to the point where he even said, why am I here? You want actors.
Yeah, right.
That was part of the conversation.
This entire interview is obviously going to get compared to the CM Punk pipe bomb on Colt Cabana's show that took place a couple years ago. And where I think that the biggest divergence is that CM Punk no longer loves pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And his entire podcast interview came from a place of anger and hating of the job that he was doing.
He broke up with that girl and he wanted to go on Facebook and smack her around the internet.
Right. Whereas John Good was, I still love doing this job. They don't let me do the job that I want to do. So I am going to be the most professional about this and I'm going to go somewhere else, not sour grapes. And it just is what it is.
Yeah. John Moxley was a musician in the wrong band.
Right.
CM Punk stopped loving making the music.
Correct. That is exactly what happened. And yeah, man, I learned a lot about John Good and I learned a lot about his thought process. And Yeah, like, I'm not going to make some, like, declarative sweeping statement of, like, John Moxley's now my favorite wrestler. Like, I'm not going to do something stupid like that.
It's not mine.
But it's like, hey, man, you and I have a lot of common ground in terms of how we think about the WWE creative process.
Well, and the thing about John Moxley is, doesn't he, in a way, even kind of as much, I don't know if it's more so, maybe more so, kind of the same way, who cares, embody AEW, like, even more than Cody, almost?
Yes.
Because that guy's just like, yeah, he's not Ty Dillinger, no. Where it's like, you didn't give me a shot.
You want to know what the biggest difference is? That guy comes with former WWE champion.
Grand Slam champion.
Yeah.
Did basically everything in that company but win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, seriously. You know what I mean? And go last at Mania. That's the only thing that guy didn't do, those two things.
Right.
Money in the Bank, all the titles, the Shield. And, like, yeah, because here's the thing. It's like, Cody Rhodes has this energy of, you didn't know what you had, and I'm going to show you. And Ty Dillinger has that, like, there's got to be greener pastures out there. Dean Ambrose is just like, no, like, I'm in my prime, and I have made this choice. And right. I'm not unappreciated there. There's just, wrestling needs to change, and I want to be part of that. And it's like, wow, that is... That's really significant to me,
right.
That this guy in his prime offered a contract. You know, he would have been offered the moon.
Well,
he could have made $500 a show after all.
Yeah, right.
That was incredible, right?
That is incredible.
That was your last payday. Here's a little last kick in the ass.
Unbelievable, right?
You guys suck. You know what I mean? Like, firing you on your wedding day, and here's your last paycheck for the company's $500. Thanks for nothing. It's like, Jesus Christ. But yeah, the idea that, like, this guy, like I said, like, everybody's got a story, and every story kind of comprises AEW, right?
Right.
And they're all part of it, right? Whether you're MJF and it's like, I choose to come here instead of NXT. Whether you're Billy Gunn, it's like, I want to be part of this creatively, not that. Whether you're like...
I also have to be.
Yeah, I got fired, but you know what I mean. But like, again, Ty Dillinger, who's like, I'll show you, or Cody Rhodes, who's I'll show you. But Dean Ambrose is this, or, you know, because Jericho's 48.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, no, I'm hot shit and I'm making a choice. And that's the biggest thing they've done as a company so far.
Well, and that's the thing is, we sat and we talked about it, right? And you talked about the importance of stars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, Dean Ambrose showing up, and, you know, obviously John Moxley showing up at Double or Nothing, yeah, that is what this company needs. Yeah. Because, yeah.
It's like best case scenario.
Right. And, yeah, man, it's because Marty's on his way, but he's committed to the Super Juniors.
The only other guy, and it really now really is interesting how spooky their careers would parallel if it happened now, but the only other guy out there to go get and make everybody go like, whoa!
Is John Cena.
Yeah. And wouldn't that be the parallel where Hogan was just like, in the WWF, and Vince was like, thanks for everything.
Right.
We'll call you, maybe.
Right.
And then he's like, okay, I guess I want to transition into movies then.
Yeah.
And then this new company, like, makes him, you know what I mean? Makes him a big deal and, like, revitalize. And this, like, how amazing would that be if, you know, it probably won't happen. But, like, other than John Cena coming in and being a very Hulk Hogan-esque role, the difference is here with Dean Ambrose is it's even bigger than Scott Hall. Because Scott Hall was former Intercontinental Champion.
He was fun.
Right. Fun guy, Razor Ramon.
This is closer to Diesel.
Right, and even then, I mean, it's like the Shield is so much bigger than anything those two had done individually in that company.
Correct.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a big get for them, and we'll talk more about Double or Nothing specifically because I want to talk about this interview because there's a lot to plug.
Yes.
So here's a big point that I want to make because Bill brought up CM Punk, and I do want to draw the parallel because not that everything has to be apples to apples, right? But in this situation... what I really respected about Dean Ambrose, a guy that I have, again, for about 7 years now been like, wah, wah, you know what I mean? What I respected a lot about him was, yes, did he have a story to tell and perhaps a little bit of an axe to grind, I guess. What I got out of it, though, was just a guy that wanted to convey that it's like I was creatively strangled. right. for 7 years.
I wanted to do serious stuff, and they thought I was comedy.
And not only that, but the things that they had me do were borderline absurd, if not flat out absurd.
Right.
To the point where, I mean, how do you sink your teeth into this? This is terrible. The thing I got about him was him looking at this script and being me, you know, and just being like, this is bad.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You know what I
right.
mean? But the biggest thing is, unlike Punk, because you said it right, CM Punk broke up with a girl who mostly dumped him. But and then he's just like, yeah, and she was always a stupid bitch. You know what I mean? And just like, bit, 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 and just because that's how you talk about somebody you're not over. You right. know what I mean? You slander them and have bad things to say. People that are like it, like really in a healthy place, are just like, yeah, it didn't work out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Here's if you want to hear why it didn't work out, I can tell you. You know what I mean? And yeah, I definitely want to convey a message so it doesn't get clouded by the other party. But yeah, Punk was just like, and then Hunter wouldn't let me wrestle last, and I, you know what I mean? And then right. it was just like, let me tell you about Ryback, and you know what I mean? And it was just like, okay. You're like, I'm not telling you that yeah. you didn't just go through some shit, man. But Dean Ambrose was much more poised and composed to the point where it was just like, yeah, I love wrestling. This company doesn't let me do what I want. And right. so I want to get my well, side of this out.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I grew up writing promos and cutting promos.
Yeah.
And they don't let me do that.
I'm not wrestling here. I'm not doing wrestling stuff here. I'm talking to plants and I got mustard and you want me to have pizza with a homeless guy or something he said.
Yeah.
That was a script they threw at him. Yeah. And it was just like, yeah, I get that. It, like, it's, I always, if you had, I've never put like front of the brain thought into it. Like, does John Good also think this is dumb? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Because we have talked to people anywhere from Mick Foley to Justin Roberts to Jimmy Corderas to guys that work there now to guys that worked there then that'll tell you like, oh, creatively, if you're looking at it, it's Vince McMahon. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
right.
even if you like it, it's probably just a little bit of me improvising what I'm supposed to be doing out there
right.
because it's written by him. And so, like, I guess if you had sat me down and be like, do you think he likes this? I'd probably be like, probably not. But it's nice to hear consciously that he was like, yeah, guys, I knew this was terrible. I knew it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so one thing I want to bring up just specifically, what do you think about the fact that he was super uncomfortable mentioning Roman Reigns' leukemia? The fact that he did do it, but it seems like he said the line was so bad he wouldn't say it on Jericho's show.
Yeah.
For fear that if a writer got revealed to have written it, he might be like publicly chastised or fired or whatever. Like so,
right.
So what the line that he wound up committing to was what goes around comes around. Look at Roman Reigns, he has cancer now. Which
yeah, well, didn't he reference Roman dying of cancer?
I listened to the promo, and Bill, if you know,
yeah, I know where it is.
Okay, it's on our Twitter. But if I remember that correctly, it was basically something along the lines of, "Set karma's a bitch and look at Roman."
Okay,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
And so that was the line he was willing to say.
Right.
And they had something even more like, whoa. And so this is the thing that I must admit surprised me, because I would have thought this guy in particular would have been like, if Reigns is cool, then let's push the envelope to the max. But referencing that sickness seemed to be one of the many deal breakers for him.
So I think that it all comes down to the level of reality, right? One of his best friends, because that's the level of relationship I feel that those two have, or those three have with
yeah,
each other.
They're on the road for so
long. You know
long.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's that level. So, basically, like, look, man, he's actually dealing with cancer, right? He's actively dealing with this right now. So, yeah, I don't want to put that juju out into the universe, right? Like, I don't want to go on Raw and say, I hope Roman dies of leukemia, right? Because I actually don't want to just put that into the universe, right? And so that's the only thing that
And I eat that heat. The right. writers don't, you don't,
right.
I do.
I do. And
did Dean Ambrose go too far?
Right.
Says Bleacher Report.
Right, exactly. And yeah, that is the type of thing where Susan G. Coleman then turns around and goes, oh, hell no, get out of here.
I'm surprised they would want to touch that at all, you know, with everything they do around October.
All right, this is about 30 seconds long. We'll just play the promo real quick.
What goes around comes back around on you. And it's come back around on us in a big way. And now we're all going to get what we deserve. I mean, look at Roman. for Roman's part, for what Roman did in the Shield. He has to answer to the man upstairs.
Yeah, okay.
And that's just, it's two things. It is as tasteless as everybody's thinking it is, but it's also just, like, dumb. Like,
right.
If you wanted to establish heat by, like, hinting around at it, it's like, yeah, what Roman did in the Shield, now he has cancer. What did Roman Reigns do in the Shield?
He never turned on anyone.
Yeah, what did Roman Reigns, like, if Rollins, like, that would have been a promo when you would have said to Rollins when he blew out his knee.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Look at that, dickhead, look at that. You blew out your knee.
Karma's a bitch.
Karma's a bitch because knee injuries aren't life-threatening, cancer-related things. It makes sense that you'd say that. Like, what has Roman Reigns done, this is a total side topic, that make you go like, yeah, Roman, you know that how you were the guy that picked up the dude for the triple power bomb.
Right.
Well, now you're gonna die, and that's how the universe works. And it's like, well, I don't think so. You know what I mean? Like,
that.
Not only is that a distasteful thing to say, it's not even good material.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? It's both.
Right.
That's how bad you are at this.
Well, that's the thing. It's it's like a shock jock just saying the shocking things.
Right.
Where it's like,
yeah,
you're not like you're just saying the words that are gonna get the reaction because you listen to that promo and. It doesn't seem like he's believing what he's saying because that was clearly written by somebody that's like, yeah, what goes around comes around and you're going to get what's yours. And look at Roman because that's going to make everybody go, ooh.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, that's a fun way to take that, but you're not going to expound on the fact that this character, and now I'm psychoanalyzing a promo from 2 years ago, right? Dean Ambrose, like, if you were to take it in the idea of, like, Dean Ambrose is paranoid that everybody's coming after them because of what they did in the Shield, and these things are happening, and bad things are happening. But you know what? No, you didn't think about something like that. It's, yeah, what's going to get the crowd to just go, ooh.
Right, yeah, right, and right, and I don't know. Just short-sightedness and a weird creative pattern that just goes through Vince McMahon is what I learned. Is not what I learned. Is, you know, one of my takeaways. Because I want to get to that. Because the person that looked the worst in this whole thingamajig, you know what I mean, in this whole interview and this whole experience to me, clearly, obviously, is Vince McMahon, right?
Yeah.
Because to his credit, and again, not to parallel everything to CM Punk, but CM Punk came in there with a flamethrower, right?
Yeah, right.
It was just spreading it around. Hunter, you're a dick, and Laurinaitis, you're a dick, and P.S. Hayes, and Vince, and Shane, Stephanie, and who else? Who's here? Ryback, you moron, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that was his scorched earth. I'm never going back, and you can't make me, and meh. And with Ambrose, he was just like, this isn't the story of why Triple H is a slime ball and John Cena is, is really a humble bragger, you know what I mean? Or why Randy Orton's a politicking douche. This was just like, I had creative, I felt like I was being creatively stifled.
Right.
And the only person that could change that was impossible to change.
Right.
And so it wasn't even about, because he didn't say, maybe it'll be better when Vince is dead. He just goes, even the last clip that Bill played in the opener, he didn't go like, yeah, one day Vince will be dead, hooray. He just goes, maybe AEW's legacy will be finally changing that guy's mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, like, that's not a harsh, brutal, whoa thing to say.
Nope.
Where it's like, he didn't say, like, he's lost his touch. Like, I think he made it very clear that he never wants to work with Vince McMahon again.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I don't know. I want to give credit to a guy for being poised in a situation where he could have just wanted to make sound clips and...
Oh, it was very, very calculating in terms of what it was trying to accomplish, but he also did it in a very, very respectful way because he had to, right? He has very close friends that work there.
His wife.
And his wife works there.
Yep.
Right? And so, yeah, he's not going to go in and scorched earth. Now, look, here's the thing. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that that's also a lawsuit if you fire their wife because of a thing he said on a podcast when he no longer works for you.
I think it's going to probably be a lot like AJ Lee, where it's just like, we are going to treat you with baseline respect so there's nothing you can sue us for, and then I think we part ways when there's time to re-up. I think we're both going to just say goodbye.
Yeah. Because
that's what AJ Lee was. AJ Lee worked there for months with CM Punk. Was it that long?
She finished at 31, and Punk was gone before 30.
You are 100% correct. And so they didn't, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't bury her. She won a championship in that time.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so what I just think what they... Everybody just sort of like, let's make this amicable because, yeah, of course that guy had to be hanging in the air, especially after the podcast, especially after all that, you know what I mean? Whatever, whatever. And like, yeah, so there had to be something said for like the same thing with Renee Young. You're on our Raw commentary team. We can't, even if we wanted to, just make you go away.
Yeah, right.
You're not Charlie Caruso holding a mic backstage and then, oh, there's a new pretty girl. You know what I mean? Like, no, you're the third person on commentary. Yep. And yeah, if you were to be all of a sudden absent, it would be like losing to Ethan Carter III at every house show on the tour, you know, like he had to do, where it'd be pretty obvious. So what I think Renee Young's future is, without knowing anything about her contract, would be like, yeah, we'll see at the finish line, and then thanks for everything.
Yeah, right.
And even that might even be best for her.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because AEW would definitely hire her.
Yeah.
Definitely would.
But yeah,
how bad do you think Vince McMahon looks? And do you think because here's the thing is, if you've listened to the New Age, here's a plug. If you listen to the New Age Insiders, I mean, this is kind of what Justin Roberts told us on the air. This is sort of what a lot of wrestlers have told us on this show. So what do you think about Vince McMahon? How do you think he like looks out of all this? And did you learn anything new about this process?
So the thing that this is done is, it doesn't make Vince McMahon look bad. It just confirms everything that everybody says, right? It says that it's, hey, the writers can come up with whatever, and it doesn't matter because Vince is just going to come up with whatever Vince comes up with anyway, you know? So it's not going to matter at the end. And so that wasn't new knowledge.
Yeah, you had that quote on last week's show,
right?
From the writer that's just like, nothing matters.
It doesn't matter. We can have the most great, beautiful, wonderful ideas. But yeah, if we say, you know, that there's a gas mask, Vince will all of a sudden turn everything into you're taking rabies shots.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
This town stinks.
Yeah.
They reek. Don't you get it? Yeah, no matter you're in Liverpool, it sounds like they're gross. Surgical mask. Yeah, get it? Just tell them they stink.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? And wow. So
Pooper scooper.
And, you're a fucking Renaissance man.
Yeah, but it's like we knew that.
Unbelievable.
We knew that going in.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's not new information. I think the thing that it kind of eye-opening is that it doesn't seem like any of the talent actually has a say.
Oh, they don't.
You know, like...
They don't.
But because if Dean Ambrose...
I mean, you got to walk away from that and just kind of like knowing that now, right?
Right.
He's a former WWE champion and the hottest thing you've done in 15 years.
Right.
And he couldn't get breakthrough.
Well, that's the thing. If Dean Ambrose, who is a top, top guy for them, right, or was a top, top guy for them, if he doesn't have the clout to go into Vince McMahon's office and go, hey, I think that this is dumb, and Vince's response is, but it's you.
And see, here's the problem, is because you're right, and the thing is just it all comes down, we are a monarchy. And so it's like, in theory, if you like, when you're like, you want to go to Vince as the president, right? And be like, Congress came up with this stupid idea. Can you change this? And he can go look at it and go like, okay, I see what you're saying. Tweak, bing, bang, and boom here. What do you think about that? And you go, wow, you know what you're talking about. I'll take this back to Congress, right? But instead, Congress goes, here's an awesome idea. And Vince goes like, great, and I'm going to shit on it. You know what I mean? And it's just, so you can't go to the king and be like, this is wrong. He's like, yeah, it's mine.
Yeah.
So you have to, the writers are monkeys on typewriters. You know what I mean? Because they're writing anything. It could be bad and he could actually make it better. It's probably good and he makes it worse, it seems like lately. But like, yeah, no matter what, the system is broken because there are no checks and balances.
Right.
I can't, like, again, it's supposed to be the idea, like, just think about government, right? Where it's just like, hey, you know, I think Alabama's acting up, Mr. President. What do you think about Alabama? And he'll go like, I'll take a look. You know what I mean?
Right.
But instead, we don't have a president. It's a king. And so you go, Your Majesty, thus kingdom is fucketh up. You know what I mean? And he goes, I know, I fucketh it up. You know what I mean? And it's just like, so how do you ever stop this snake from eating itself when there's one guy who is, you know, judge, jury, and executioner? And if you're Dean Ambrose, if you're John Moxley, you eventually came to a realization that you can't.
Right.
I am trying to fit this square peg into this round hole for eternity, and guess what? It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. Well, so I'm just going to go someplace else.
And the thing that I love, and I think the thing that makes me the most excited, is when John Moxley goes and talks about how it was like, I was done. I was no longer going to work for this company. I didn't know what I was going to do. Fortunately, AEW sprung up out of nowhere, but it was like, yeah, am I going to go back to CZW? Am I going to go to Japan? Or am I just going to start my own training school can just build my own opponents?
How about that quote? How about, and I have it here. How about that guy saying, if WWE didn't exist, I would still be gone. If there were no other wrestling companies, I'd start a school and train my new opponents.
Yeah.
I would reseed wrestling from the beginning reseed the wrestling business from scratch if I needed to. That guy was just basically like, you don't understand. I hated it. Like,
I am a pro wrestler. You are not letting me pro wrestle.
Right.
And so I'm going to go anywhere or create anything to make it happen.
So what I have a couple of closing points, because we do want to talk about Double or Nothing, and we can't be here all night. We got to put a cap on this eventually. But one of the points I wanted to make is his story is unique, because every story we have in the world is unique, but it is not new,
right?
In the sense that he's just like, yeah, I'm creatively stifled. One comparison I want to make, and then we'll wrap this up and oh, thank you, Brandon. You're awesome. One comparison I want to make is, because inevitably this has happened, Sasha Banks is also somebody that, if we are to believe what's going on to be true, and kind of whispers from a couple people that we talk to, she's unbelievably unhappy with her creative direction in the company, right, to the point where if she never came back, she'd be okay with it. But here's the difference between her and Dean and John Moxley, right? John Moxley, when he seemed to have his, like, this is it, there's no going back moment, was like, it's like 100 and so days left. He even broke it down to like 15 Raws, where he's like, I can do this. You know what I mean?
Well,
she's got like 2.5 years left.
Well, it's also the mindset that I think is the right mindset. I don't think Sasha Banks' mindset is the correct one, because John Good, he was like, look, I hate it. This is awful, but this is what I signed up for. And so if you're going to hand me garbage and ask me to go out there and perform it, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, because that's what you've paid me to do, right? And it feels like Sasha Banks has taken more of the CM Punk approach, where it's, I don't like this. I deserve better. I need better. And wah, wah, I'm taking my ball and going home.
So when my position on Sasha Banks softened a little bit, but like not a ton, just because like it's not news to me that this place is not a lot of fun to work with, work for. And with Sasha Banks, it's like, one thing that I want to make unbelievably clear when I talk about Sasha Banks is, I don't think that she was given anything. So when people go like, she was totally unappreciated, and then I quote tweet them and say she won titles, she was in first matches, she's in big stuff, right? That is not me saying, look at what she was given. She earned all of it. She worked hard. Right. She got over. She sold t-shirts. She was afforded opportunities that she earned. However, I do think it's important to note that those opportunities she earned were still afforded to her. And there are women on the roster that have long felt that, like, you know, I don't know, Dana Brooke, who is far less marketable and not as good. And I'm not telling you that, like, why haven't we pushed Dana Brooke for Sasha Banks? Because Sasha Banks is better and more marketable. Gotcha. But what I'm telling you is there are women on the roster that feel that they have worked as hard as her,
right,
and been afforded fewer opportunities for their work.
Yep.
And so when I go to Sasha Banks and I think of the difference, it's just like, it is very CM Punkish, where it's just like, look, yeah, I bet working with Vince McMahon, it's a fucking nightmare. But don't tell me that you're not valued, you know what I mean? Or that you didn't like get what you deserved kind of idea. Because, yeah, could Sasha Banks have been treated better and won more title defenses and been in more things and, like, she just fell off the planet and that's not right. I'm not telling you that they nailed it with her. The last 2 years, she's been a ghost. Gotcha. But at the same time, like, yeah, CM Punk was like, and I didn't even get to main event WrestleMania. Yeah, I wrestled The Undertaker and Triple H and Money in the Bank and World Championships, and I beat John Cena and had a pay-per-view built around me, but I didn't get to go on last at WrestleMania. Right. And I don't think that's what she's doing here either, for the record. I think CM Punk is having way more of a tantrum than she. She's just kind of quietly on vacation and been like, I don't like my job.
And I don't want to come back.
Right, she's not, right, she's not being like, if you didn't know that they were on bad terms, you wouldn't know. She's just taking photos on vacation, you know what I mean?
Right.
Which is passive aggressive.
Yeah, right.
But at least not aggressive aggressive.
Yeah, the big difference for me between the two situations is that she has most definitely taken her ball and gone home.
Yeah.
And John he played out the contract, right? And
but I also, to her credit, understand the difference between looking at a couple months and a couple years.
Right.
That is a world of difference.
There is a world of difference, but at the same time, it's, well, then how do we come to an amicable split?
Release me.
Release me.
And they're not going to do that because now there really isn't. Like, before, because, well, like, yeah, what are you going to do? Be a woman of honor? We made that joke. Like, what are you going to do? Be a
Shimmer?
Woman? Right. What are you going to do? Shimmer or women? Are you going to be a woman of honor? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, right. No, I'm going to go to AEW and I'm going to throw it in your face. And it's just like, oh, no, I really, really don't want that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really don't.
Oh,
I might even just pay you to stay here for 2 years and not put you on TV.
They're going to, because that's, like, right now the women's division is headed up by Awesome Kong, which is great, because that was a surprise at Double or Nothing. That was muy bueno.
Yeah, it was great.
But her and Britt Baker, right? Those are the two. And so it's like, yeah, if Sasha Banks showed up.
Yeah, because they don't even have, like, Tessa Blanchard. She's an impact.
She's an impact.
And not only that, but I mean, it's like, name the five best, with all the love and respect in the world, name the five hottest, you know, in a popularity.
I know what you meant.
Right, women independent wrestlers. Jordynne Grace, Tessa Blanchard, Britt Baker, Happy Lady.
Yeah.
Right? Stack them on top of each other, put them in a trench coat like they're trying to get into a movie, and they're not Sasha Banks.
Right.
You know what I mean? And star power and whoa factor and all that stuff. So, yeah. We can't have that. And again, with Sasha Banks, I'm not even trying to, like, compare directly Banks to Punk to Moxley. I just think that she's kind of right in the middle, where she seems to be out like Punk, but being pretty cool about it like Moxley, where she's just like, I don't want to do this anymore. So yeah. So look at me, I'm in Japan. Cheese, you know what I mean. And so, like, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because there is, you know, floating out there that they're like, a major player in the women's division just, like, might be gone forever. You know what I mean?
Right.
And she, you know, I think you can learn a lot from what Ambrose did. But at the same time, like, you know, the finishing out thing. But yeah, at the same time, I totally get it, where she's like, oh, I got 2.5 years left in this company. No, I quit. I'm a millionaire. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah,
I get that. If you have $5 million, I assume she's got $3 to $5 million, right? Something in that ballpark.
And her husband's still actively employed.
Right, right. He's the costume designer. He's like the head of like wardrobe. And it's just like, yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't have, if you didn't have to go to work on Monday, would you?
No.
You know what I mean? Right. You know what I mean? If you didn't have to and you hated
negative.
It, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you liked it and you're like, yeah, I love being a mailman. It's like, great, go for it, buddy. But it's like, if you hated your job and you hated your boss and you hated your coworkers and you hated the process and you didn't have to go to work, why would you?
Right.
And that's where she is. And I get that too. And Dean Ambrose got to that point where he's like, I don't have to either, but I'm going to make this easier on my wife.
Yes. Cause it's he's like, if we both got fired, we'll just get an RV. It'll be fun.
Yeah. So, we'll talk about that. So here are Jerry's final thoughts. He really doesn't like Brock Lesnar. But here's the biggest thing in a nutshell. I wrote this down because I was typing away. WWE is bad, and the only person that doesn't know it or accept it is Vince. That was my takeaway.
Yeah,
that
the king doesn't realize he has no clothes.
The emperor has no clothes. Yeah. And that's what this is like. That was my closing statement was because these are direct quotes. I think Vince is the problem. Vince's way sucks. I don't care about WWE. They're in the past. And so if you're the Road Dogg, Jesse James, and Triple H, and Jim Cornette, and what's this? Byron Ballyhoo? What's his stupid idiot name?
the guy that
who ruined WCW?
Vince Russo.
And you want to tell me that I'm a smark mark, marky smark mark, smarky, when I say those things? Fine. Well, what about a former WWE champion, fresh out of the machine, who says, I think Vince is the problem. Vince's way sucks. I don't care about WWE. What do you say to him? You're going to call John Moxley a Marky Smark, Smark, Marky Smark, Smark? You know what I mean? Yeah. You're going to call him Smarky Smark? I bet you're not. You know what
I
mean?
In the Funky Bunch?
Right, exactly. You know what I mean? I bet you're not. You know what I mean? Hey, Road Dogg Jesse James, who tells every single fan that doesn't like what's on TV that they're wrong and stupid and don't understand what they're looking at. What do you say to that guy that had 10 times the career that you did and is fresh out of the system and it gets it at a championship level? You're in a tag team, dreadlocks. You know what I mean? Tell me I'm a Marky Smark, Smark, Mark.
And the Funky Bunch.
Right. When there's everybody leaving the machine comes out, like coming out, like they left jail. They're breathing like fresh. They look like when you like see those videos on when you're scrolling through Facebook where they're like, these pigs never saw daylight because they were in a torture farm and then we rescued them and look, this is the first time these pigs have seen grass and they're just like rolling around and me like, oh my god, that's right, I'm a pig, oh my god, you know what I mean? That's what everybody who's leaving WWE does. We're like, oh god, grass and oxygen, there's a sky, you know what I mean?
Like even Chris Jericho talked about it, right? Because he was like, I wasn't going to wrestle and like, I just had this thing. And then I had the opportunity to do the thing with Kenny Omega in the Tokyo Dome and I did it. And I was like, wow, this is way more fun.
Yeah.
And that just like changed everything.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, that's exactly what happens. These guys, they equated it to prison. And they get so accustomed to the way that this is, and it's Stockholm syndrome. And now they're on the outside, and it's just like, no, it can be better.
Yeah, right. There's an after this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like now, and Dean Ambrose even said it himself too. This is Vince's worst nightmare. He goes, I got a bunch of money, and I don't care about money. I never negotiated a contract with AEW. I just sign what they put in front of me because I want to wrestle. And so it's like,
oh no,
I'm going to make them rich and then they're going to leave and have fun. You know what I mean? That's what's going to happen. That's the new model. You know what I mean? It's like, holy shit, pal. I'm funding their midlife crisis. You know what I mean? God damn it. Did you spend my money on your goddamn music video, you punk kids? Your jail blood video. Oh, I can make jail blood videos. But that's what it is. That's Vince's worst nightmare. Where he's like, oh my God, I gave you enough money to be free. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's it. Like, I paid for your freedom. You know what I mean? Oh no.
Because
Sasha Banks, Dean Ambrose, and let's do this just very quickly. Before we get to the take a break and then we'll get to double or nothing reactions, full double or nothing reactions. Also, by the way, your $5 matters. Patreon.com/New Age Insiders. We are going to be talking all about NXT TakeOver and previewing NXT TakeOver coming up this Saturday. The plan starts at just $5. There's 5 shows a month. There's daily stuff. You're going to meet some amazing people. And there's a bunch of bonus content. So if you're a big podcast fan, if you like us and you're like, man, I'd like even more shows, you can double your New Age Insiders monthly take-in plus one. And we really appreciate it. Patreon.com/New Age Insiders. Your $5 really does go a long way to keep it growing. And we need equipment. And we want this whole set to look a lot better. And we need to pay for it. And also twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV. If you have Amazon Prime, you already have Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free, or if you just $5 want to think that we're worth your $5 a month, which I think we are worth $5 a month. That's $1.25 a week. I mean, come on now, people, you pay more for coffee in a day. twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV. You can subscribe right now. And again, if you have Amazon Prime, you can do it for free. Who's the next person? We might've already said it. Who's the next big whoa they got them, AEW, from WWE?
Ooh, you know what?
I don't know if it can be Sasha Banks just because I don't think they're going to let her.
They're not.
They didn't let Rey Mysterio go when there was no other company.
Yeah, right. They're just,
Is there another woe that's on Sasha Banks' level?
Yeah. Just because I think that
John Cena.
John Cena. I want to
wrestle, man. You don't let me on TV. You don't let me do this anymore. It's not about like money or jorts.
He's still gonna do the movies.
Right. You don't let me do this no more.
Right. I had to come up with a cool gimmick where I came back as the Doctor of Thugonomics.
Right, exactly. Like, and that was incredible. But like, look, I'm not predicting this, but I'm telling you that like his career has paralleled Hogan right up until now, so why not just do it? You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, yeah, you don't let me do this anymore. You don't let me on TV. I'm a ghost. You don't talk about me.
Yep.
I still want to.
I will get my 17th world championship one way or another.
Oh, how amazing is that? It's like, yo, yes. I want 17 and you won't let me get it here. So fuck you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's incredible. Because that's the answer. Like, look, and I'm not predicting it. I'm not predicting it. I'm just telling you that, like, yeah, they got John Cena to finish up there. You want to talk about people talking? That's the only, like, and I mean this, like, average guy at the grocery store, that's the only pro wrestler everybody knows.
Yeah.
Other than The Rock, the people that are working. Not Hulk Hogan, not The Rock.
Not Macho Man.
Right. Not be like, what about Stone Cold Steve Austin, bro? I'm talking about, like, guys right now that are pro wrestlers, that's the only one you have a shot that they've heard
Randy
of.
Orton, maybe.
Right, maybe Triple H, but really.
But Triple H is from the 90s.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
And it's not Randy Orton. It's John Cena.
Oh, it's John Cena.
It's John Cena.
I'm just saying that, like, in the same way that it's, like, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, it's like, John Cena, Randy Orton.
Right, but Randy Orton's never snapped into a Slim Jim. You know what I mean? At least Macho Man was mainstream. Like,
see, the only reason is because of the RKO's out of nowhere.
That's true. He is a meme. He is a meme. That's fair.
that's the only reason.
But like, I'm not predicting John Cena.
The safe answer, like if we were like to put money on it, the answer is Marty Scurll. That's the answer.
Okay, I'm thinking from WWE.
Right. Right.
Because eventually they're gonna get flipped.
Yeah.
You know would be a guy that I'm not sure, it's definitely not Ambrose or Sasha Banks, but a guy that I could see wanting to go over there is Marky Smarks, Mark, answer as this is, Cesaro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think there'd be people that would be thrilled to see him in that company because he would feel like Dean Ambrose too, where he's just like, oh my God, I just like took off a 50-pound, you know, straight jacket.
Claudio again.
Do you know who in the same vein? And who knows? Because, you know, it's definitely about paychecks and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like Kevin Steen, man.
Yeah.
Or Daniel Bryan.
Does it not feel like Kevin Owens is destined to be in AEW sooner than later? Doesn't it? I mean,
I don't know.
No, he recently signed a contract. But I mean, I don't know. I just kind of think that eventually, because Shinsuke Nakamura resigned too, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's just
and it's not
like,
gonna be. It doesn't have to be anytime soon either.
He's a guy to me where it's just like, yeah, I'm really good friends with the Bucks, and they're having a ton of fun, and I get to be Kevin Steen again. That sounds like a good time, right?
I don't know how to pronounce this name, but the best part of my week, and I just came back from Anchorage, Alaska. Well, I hope you had a fun time, and thank you so much for listening. We enjoy being a part of your week. We really do. All right, so
Well, that's the thing, too. And y'all, he, she, they, them, also said Cena would look great with the AEW title.
Yeah, that thing's pretty.
But one, it's pretty. Two, you want to put immediate prestige on that? If you could get John Cena.
John Cena? You had Bret Hart for no good reason. Hold it up. Have John Cena win it. Saluja, well, thank you so much for listening, and we really appreciate you. So final thoughts. Vince looks really bad. WWE looks really bad. I think fans that just kind of needed to hear this from a non-bitter horse's mouth, because like I said, this was different than CM Punk. CM Punk's was, I hate Triple H, I hate Vince, I didn't like John very much, I didn't like working there, Ryback's an idiot. Like, this was just this guy being like, the company's bad, they're going in the wrong way, and here's why I think that's true, with real world practical examples.
You can definitely say something sucks, but you have to have points to back it up.
Right.
That's the big thing about Twitter that I absolutely hate, is that, and you'll probably notice, is that when I say that I don't like something or something I think sucks, I will back it up with an opinion based on a fact. Right. And that's what this entire interview was to me. It was, this place is a terrible place to work for. Why? Because it takes pro wrestlers and takes pro wrestling away from them and makes them actors.
Right. That was the perfect quote, wasn't it? Why'd you hire me? You just weren't an actor. Why'd you hire a bunch of wrestlers to do this? You know what I mean? It's like it's one step away from like a.
Why do you think The Miz is so good at it?
Right. It's like why'd you hire like the, in The Rock and stuff like that? You know what I mean? It's like the yeah, because I've been on MTV my whole life, so I know what you want. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like, yeah, this is one step away from being like a play. So why'd you hire a bunch of wrestlers to be in a play? That's weird. You know what I mean? Vince looks bad. The company looks bad. The creative direction needs to change. But here's the thing. Just in my actual final thought. We say, like, it needs to change. And my whole thing would be, like, or what? They just signed a $1 billion TV deal. So while they are doing what you could make a case is worse than ever, they're as profitable as ever, if not more so than ever. So it's like my fear here is the only thing that ever, ever changes Vince McMahon is money. He didn't do the Attitude Era because he thought it'd be just out of creative, like, liberty. It was like, I'm losing, so I got to change. And so...
Right.
They're never going to make a dent in his wallet enough that I'm wondering if they'll ever actually change. That's my fear. That's my long-term fear.
Yeah, the difference is that TV stations, TV is failing, right? Like traditional cable. So they might be quicker to change the pull the plug on them than you might think.
It could be. It could be. I said this to you off the air, and I believe it. I don't think I'll be alive for the end of the WWE. There's just something. And
if we haven't been alive for the end of TNA, you're right.
You know, right? Hallelujah. But like, it's just something, and I take it for granted fully. But it's just something like I take them for granted, like the NFL, where it's just like every year I'm just like, yeah, we're gonna play next season. And with the WWE, it's like, yeah, there'll be a WrestleMania 36, and as soon as it's over, we'll talk about 37. It's just like, I just don't think I'll be alive for the end of the WWE. I hope. I am alive for the death of Vince McMahon, not because I want to watch Vince die, but because if I'm not, I'm going to be dead in 20 years, and that's terrifying.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I just don't, you know, you talk about, like, have to change.
Right.
I still don't think they're in a position of being forced to do anything. Bummer. But great interview, and worth the listen on Talk is Jericho. When we come back, Jericho was part of Double or Nothing, an outstanding show, AEW sort of launch into the wrestling stratosphere. We'll get our complete thoughts on that pay-per-view as we get ready to go over to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders after the New Age Insider. We'll be right back.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie J. Mikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica. Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Mikowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Moltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
Let's go. I love this song. It's so dorky.
Is this Best this Friends?
No, this is the Young Bucks. But this is the like the end of being the elite. This is the end of the being the elite.
So, AEW is now officially a company. Was it Friday night? Saturday night?
Saturday night.
Saturday night, they broke the champagne over the bow, and they're a boat now. That's how it works. They're officially.
Yeah.
AEW is officially a boat.
Yes.
So we'll talk about certain matches, and obviously I want to know your match of the night and all that kind of stuff and your takeaway. But just sort of what are your overall thoughts on All Elite Wrestling's Double or Nothing, even though it was your first show and it's called Double?
So I think that there's just a lot to unpack here because I like what they were going for, and if this wasn't a $50 pay-per-view but the first episode on TNT, everybody would have loved it, right? Because there was a return
I really like that point. Go ahead.
There were surprises. Things that I absolutely loved was Awesome Kong. She wasn't even on the radar.
That was really cool.
And having her come out to be a part of the first women's match, awesome. That was
Kong.
Kong. That was amazing, and that was awesome. That was a surprise. Now, I know who these people are, but having the Super Smash Brothers show up and be a part of this, I fell in love with the PWG when I was out in Los Angeles, living there and getting introduced to pro wrestling. Yep. The Super Smash Brothers were wrestling the Young Bucks, and I fell in love with both of those teams. And so to have them there, I absolutely loved it.
I think they did them a unbelievable disservice.
Yes.
By having the Kill the Lights and then have them show up, and then 90% of that crowd had no idea who they're looking at. And one of, in my opinion, the biggest mistakes you can make in wrestling is a spotlight on an unknown. You go like,
right.
Whoa, they're here. And everybody goes, who? See, they literally chanted, who are you, during their big beat you up spot.
Right. And that's the
problem. They're great, but that was a huge... And then they had weird masked men.
Yeah. The problem with the execution... And so now, when I get to my negatives, this will fit in with the negatives. The execution was poor. I think that the commentary team didn't do a great job of telling the audience. Now, again...
And by great job, not at all.
Yeah.
Yes. They didn't use their names.
No. They didn't say who they were.
Yeah.
And so they did a huge disservice to them by not your reaction and Jim Ross. And this was a lapse in judgment on him because historically he's fantastic at this, but he has to act as if he knows exactly who they are so that when the lights come back up and he goes, what are the Super Smash Brothers doing here?
Yeah.
You know, now all of a sudden it's like, well, if JR knows who they are, I got to know who they are.
And the problem is, not the problem, but I think the reasoning here is that JR has come out and said that he didn't know Moxley was going to do he didn't even know he was part of the show.
Right.
So all of his reactions were genuine.
Yeah.
And I think in the same vein.
He didn't know that was going
to
happen.
And he had no idea who they were.
Right.
And so he didn't know what to tell you.
So then you had to have one of the other two guys.
And what you also need to do is, that's an ahead of time thing. So like what you need to do is, as an executive and a producer of a TV show,
right,
you have to go, I know that JR knows who Dean Ambrose is.
Right.
And I know that he knows it's a huge deal if he's here.
Correct.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine. But I know that you don't know who the Super Smash Brothers are.
And I need you to make him feel like a big deal.
Right.
So I need to tell you about this.
I need to
highlight this in the script.
I need to let you. This is where I need to let you know.
Right.
Because the same thing with Awesome Kong, right? He knows who she is.
Right.
So, yeah, JR, just
he popped for her.
Yeah, so you just coming out. Great, great. You're right. Off to the races.
And you know what JR did? Because, you know, it's the whole thing. JR does a great, great job of being a super excited wrestling fan with the headset on.
Correct.
So he sees John Moxley and goes, what the hell are you doing here? Because everybody at home is going, what the hell is he doing here? And Awesome Kong comes out and he goes, oh, this is great. I love her. Because that's what fans say. And the average fan in that building, the lights came on and JR went, oh dear, look at these guys. And they brought helpers, you know what I mean? Because that's how everybody thought.
Right.
That's just a minor note that they didn't do them any favors.
Right.
Because the other thing too is, and I know this sounds stupid, but I'm serious. The Undertaker was associated with this event as of a month ago.
Yeah.
And you kill the lights at a wrestling show with big people in the ring, and you think for a split second in time the Undertaker. And then when the lights come on and the exact goddamn opposite of the Undertaker's in the ring, That does them an enormous disservice. Yes,
that's true.
And Sting was at StarCast too.
Sting was at StarCast.
That's
as
another
well.
One too. Sting was there. So if you went to StarCast and are in that building and right. you're like, is it Sting? And then it's like, not only is it not Sting, it looks like the two guys you don't know the names of from Sanity.
Yeah, right. yeah. Right. And so you look at that, and then I'm gonna get a little bit into the negatives. A little bit, because I do think that, I guess my last positives are Cody versus Dustin Rhodes was great and a great tone setter for what like high profile matches in this company are going to be with nothing on the line.
In what way?
So we're not afraid to tell personal stories. Now, again, we all kind of like, we're like, your brothers and you rushed it and blah, blah, blah. But look, it was a story that was personal. The physical storytelling of the match was personal. We went to blood. Now, look, I think Goldust went a little too crazy and went a little too bleedy.
Yeah. But well, I haven't bladed in 15 years. I forget how.
Yeah,
let's
right.
go to the bone.
Yeah. And so I, but it's not afraid to go there, which I think is a step in the right direction. The Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers are phenomenal yeah. and put on a phenomenal match.
They're great.
They are all so fantastic. And then Jericho versus Omega was amazing again.
Yeah.
You know,
And somebody just won. Jericho is the right guy to put over Paige, so guess what? Jericho's gonna win the match.
Yeah, right. Everything logically makes sense.
Isn't that great though? Like, I don't wanna just gloss over that little phrase right. I just said. The plan is Paige. Plan.
Right.
Holy crap, plan. The plan is Hangman Page.
Right.
The right guy to put him over is Jericho.
Right.
So tonight, Chris Jericho is going to win the match.
And then at the end of the show, we had Jon Moxley show up to beat up Kenny Omega so that we can move into the next event so that now it's Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley.
Right, but Moxley didn't DDT him, and that's why it did. Right.
Yeah, right.
Jericho won.
Yep.
Jericho won.
Yep.
And that's like, yeah, and he beat a top guy to do it. And guess what? Nobody thinks Kenny Omega's buried.
No.
Because the people that watch that show are wrestling fans,
right.
not douchebag assholes. Because I said this to you off the air. If you cast a certain net in a certain area of the water, you will draw the fish you're attracting, right?
Right.
If you cast a giant ass net over the ocean, yeah, you're going to bring in some fish. And you're going to bring some boots and trash and tires,
yeah.
right? Because you cast a big ass net over the whole thing. And so what AEW and NXT do is they cast their net over wrestling fans. And so that's who they attract, right?
Yeah.
And WWE just goes, we want everybody. Have you ever liked anything? Do you own a TV? You'll love this show. It's got,
yeah, right.
it's
Scooby-Doo
got,
might be here.
It's got 1% of everything you like and 99% of nothing you do. But it's got 1% of everything. If you like anything, I'll put it on here. And so it's like, yeah, that also works with the fans you attract. Well, I'll just say it. You know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah. The wrestling fans that are like, yeah, no one thinks that Kenny Omega's buried because I know how wrestling works and Jericho is just the right choice and I get it. And if meanwhile that happened in WWE, there'd be some flipping ninth grade asshole who's like, everybody's buried. No, I don't know anybody who is. And nobody like, you know, and like,
right.
and it's just like using terms you don't know and being stupid. And at least for now, I don't get that vibe from AEW.
No.
Somebody just won, and then nobody online complained
yeah.
about it. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was great.
Really, really quick, we have a poll up with just under 700 votes. What would you give a double or nothing? 59% of the audience would give it an A. 21% would give it a B. Only 5% would give it some sort of a C or a D, and 15% said they didn't watch. I didn't give F an option. I just didn't watch an option. No one gets to vote F.
Yeah,
right.
Because it wasn't an F show.
Right, and I also think that didn't watch is an interesting number to see. Just
sure,
like, you know,
yeah.
how many people like are like, I passed. You know,
I passed.
What, you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, there you go. And that poll's active for 3 more days.
Yeah.
So you can go ahead and get your voice out there.
From a production standpoint is where I have a lot of problems with Double or Nothing.
Go for it.
I think that it showed just how new this company is. One of the things that's going to come with AEW is the fact that you're so immediately going to be kicking off a war with WWE. Well, WWE has perfected what wrestling on TV looks like and what major league production looks like, right? And from a person who
can speak to putting on live events and filming live events and producing television. This is where I had the biggest problem with Double or Nothing. There were
what are your key takeaways?
So key takeaways would be the cameras. You were using several different cameras. And
for
so,
your pre-packages. What was the thing that basically felt like the relay thing where like everybody was involved in the same package, but like Nick was going down the hallway with a cinema camera and somebody and felt like they were...
Nick was walking down the hallway and they had a very, very high quality cinema camera that was at 24 frames a second. Then they were broadcasting the other cameras as somewhere around 30 to 60. And so it just looked different. Also, the one that was on Kenny Omega, you did not white balance. It was not white balanced at all. And that's
he was wearing a white shirt.
You
could have used his shirt.
And explain in layman's terms what white balancing is.
So basically, cameras, whatever camera, the camera you're watching New Age Insiders on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, right? They're stupid, right? And so what you basically have to do is you have to tell the camera, hey, this is what white is. And then from there, the camera figures out all of the colors. And the reason you do this is because there are different color temperature of light. So light is different. Daylight looks different. It's a more bluish tint to it. And basically indoor lighting is a more orange tint, right? And so you need to color balance them differently because white appears different in those things. The lights that we use in this studio are tungsten balanced, right? And so you need to balance it a certain way. And there's like a whole light scale and all this other stuff that I won't bore you with, but it's very scientific, but it's also day one stuff. Right. It's day one stuff that they teach you in school of like how to focus, how to white balance a camera. Right. Because after that, it's all about just getting better at executing those things. And so that was really frustrating. The fact that they had audio issues inside where mics kept feeding back. That's something that, you know, look, it's very hard. They also did a backstage segment where no one was mic'd. So. Look, here's the thing. You're a brand new promotion. This is the first time because you went and got a bunch of freelancers to do All In, right? Flew people all from all over the country. And, you know, that was a very different situation. From here, Double or Nothing, this is AEW's core producing this show, right? So in theory, you've hired these people to produce this show. It was a little rough. It was, you know, maybe it was because you weren't used to working together. But there were a couple of pockets that if you're going to tell me that you're going to take down WWE, you just need to execute a little bit better.
Okay.
Right? And these are all things that are like, all right, we're going to figure it out. There's also potential that it's like, yeah, we did this in the MGM. And when we showed up, they were like, yeah, by the way, we're like rewiring all of our lighting. And so, or we're rewiring all of our like internal sound stuff. So like, this is going to be weird.
Maybe, but probably not.
Probably not.
Right.
Probably not.
So let me throw this at you. Everybody's talking about it. What did you think of the throne spot?
So, when I watched it initially, I kind of winced a little bit just because I was like, if you're going to take a shot at anybody in WWE, take the shot at Vince because Hunter's at least trying, especially in the news that's been coming out over the past few weeks where it's like, Hunter's pissed.
Yeah, he's as mad as anybody. Cut to Bill Neville, though, with some interesting information.
Yeah, so back in, was it 2016 was the Grand Slams? Mm-hmm. So we had a chance to work with Cody like right after he started his independent run, pretty much right after WrestleMania 32. And I was talking to him on the field prior to the show, and you know, he was telling me all about a discussion he had with Hunter, and he said he had a kind of a falling out with Hunter. And, you know, one of the last things that Hunter said to him was WWE is a play and everyone has their role and it needs to act at their best, to which he kind of said the best actors don't want the lesser roles. So Hunter was kind of saying,
heated.
Yeah, it got heated. And that's why the throne spot happened.
So it's interesting, too, because Cody Rhodes on our show said that Triple H did also text him when he won the ROH title to give him an attaboy. But yeah, that is. I think that's worth noting
because
it's something that I think would hopefully now kind of answer some internet, you know, questions or whatever. It's like why Triple H is because Triple H basically told him stay in your lane, and I think Cody Rhodes very much wanted to be like,
well, there is no lane.
This is my lane.
Well, there's also a reason. The reason why you do the spot in the first place is purely from a marketing standpoint, right? For the same reasons that you've been saying all of the right things in press conferences and stuff, right? But the fans have taken AEW and ran with a war has ignited, right? So yeah, what am I going to do for a promotion that this is my first show? I want you to talk about it, right? And I'm going to give you the Dean Ambrose stuff and the Awesome Kong stuff, and maybe you're going to talk about that. But the spot of the night that's going to make you talk about my show is I'm going to wheel Triple H's throne out there because it's clearly his, and I'm going to destroy it because that's going to be and I'm also going to show up as George Washington.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to show up as George Washington to basically say F you to the king, right? Yep. Cool, Revolutionary War, fun, symbolism, we get it. But yeah, initially I winced and I was like, Bill's quote there, but I was just like, I winced and I was like, not that guy, like, because he's not the right guy. But then I thought about it and I was like, oh, it's absolutely genius. It's absolutely genius because my reaction, like, whether Cody and Hunter figured it out and they talk, they don't talk, they like each other, they don't like each other, they send each other Christmas cards, it doesn't matter, right? Yeah. It's irrelevant because what I need is I need Jimmy Smarkmark from Idaho to have a conniption on Monday. How could AEW do this? They're so disrespectful to WWE.
And I need the other side of it to be like, look at Cody. Cody,
yeah, screw WWE. They don't know what they're talking about. Slay the King. You know? So it's just like.
And you're both obnoxious. You're both terrible. You're both the worst.
You're both terrible, but I, as a company, need both of your money because one of you is going to now support me unconditionally forever and the other person is going to hate watch.
So here's the thing about and I agree with you. Him breaking that throne, as a little cheesy as it was to have it explode and crack, right. And it was very amusement parky.
Yeah, right.
I get
it. We're going to reset and do this in 20.
Because right. There was like a pre-cut chunk that you knew exactly how it was going to break. But anyway, I get you couldn't be more right. I got you talking about it. I got everybody's attention. I got everybody's ears perked up. I got everybody talking, right? At the same time, what I do want to make a note is I was told because AEW has yet to, and give them time. They got one show. I hear you. But AEW is yet to kind of tell me what they want to be.
Right.
Because what Double or Nothing was a kick-ass indie show. But have you really signed and intend to push Orange Cassidy and Tommy Dreamer and Luchasaurus and
Luchasaurus.
Me too. And I like Orange Cassidy and I like Joey Janela and I like, but are you going to use all of them? How? Are you going to use Tommy Dreamer? How? Right. If you're not going to use Tommy Dreamer, why was he here? You know what I mean? And so you haven't told me if you're, bring people in, and you know, be part of our world when you can be. I don't know if you're exclusive to our world. Is Joey Janela and Orange Cassidy? Orange Cassidy doesn't feel exclusive to AEW, is he? I don't know.
Well, even John Moxley's going to be wrestling in Japan in 2 weeks,
right? And it's always like I have some questions there about like what they want to be or whatever,
yeah, right?
But the biggest thing establishing like you haven't told me your identity yet is. You told me that not only was there a revolution coming, but tonight's not about WWE.
Oh, and that show was all about WWE.
And you poked fun at Bayley, and you took your shots, and my UK deal kicks your UK deal's ass, and minor things like who cares stuff. But then there was a point of the night, and I really do want to point this out. There was a point of the night where Goldust is working Cody Rhodes with Earl Hebner in the referee and JR making the call. And then later on in the night, we're going to have Chris Jericho involved in the main event where Dean Ambrose shows up.
Then we're going to have Bret Hart reveal our title.
And fucking Bret Hart, what are you doing? Who are you? Everybody give me your top five favorite Bret Hart AEW moments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bret Hart won 6 world titles. How many of them were AEWs? 4? There were 4 of them, right? What are you you doing here? And I know the answer is wrestling, bro, and he's a wrestling icon and gets people talking. I get you. But tonight's not about WWE, is it? And here comes Bret the Hitman Hart.
Right.
What are you going to have the balls to tell me WCW icon Bret Hart is here? You know what I mean? Like, fuck you. Like, we know what we're looking at. And so it's like, yeah, in a night where Goldust and Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho and Earl Hebner and Jim Ross and Bret Hart, and you know what I mean? And it's just like Ric Flair, you know, if Ric Flair was healthy enough to be here, he would have. And they probably thought
that
about
his spot.
They thought about Hogan.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, okay, you're telling me it's not about WWE. It's like, I can hear everybody yelling at me. Well, you got to bring in the names, bro. And you got to, it's a mix, but it's like, yeah, but the WWE guys were like the biggest parts of the show.
Bret Hart also didn't help them sell shows.
Why was Bret Hart the guy?
If you're bringing in the names, you're going to promote them.
Yeah, you should have just had the comedy guy do it.
Yeah, or Brandy.
Or Brandy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or one of the cons.
Right.
Yeah. Just like, what? Like, again, I do get, I know the answer to my own question, but why is Bret the Hitman Hart?
Oh, yeah, no. That was the answer is because we couldn't have Dusty do it.
Of course it is. Right. Or even Flair, who feels connected to Dusty. So it's like, yeah, Bret.
Sure.
Yeah, the Mid-South legend from Calgary, Bret Hart.
Well, because that's the thing, is just Bret just felt like it was the FU to Vince.
The whole night did.
Yeah.
And like, look, all I'm saying is I get Double or Nothing was its own show. And I don't think the next one's going to feel like that. And I get why that night was just like all the fireworks. I really understand that. But I will also put that out. There is no long-term future in just being like...
Look at what TNA did.
Yeah, look how much we're going to piss them off tonight. You know what I mean? Right. There's no...
WCW failed because of it, and TNA failed because of it.
I hope you got it out of your system. You know what I mean? You did it.
Yep.
You got everybody out. You know, you did it, right?
Right.
Now move on.
Yes.
Because if the next show is like, yep, Earl Hebner, you know, with...
Well, I bet Earl Hebner's going to still be a referee.
Oh,
but,
I get you. But if it there's got to be a time where Earl Hebner's not in the ring with two former WWE belt holders, JR making the call, and later on we got fucking Dean Ambrose coming down Shield style. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we've got to do our own thing. Whether it be Orange Cassidy figuring out if he's an exclusive talent here and what that means to not just... given the finger to WWE.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, a lot of the people that are watching AEW are anxious to give said finger and all that stuff. But long term, that's not sustainable.
No, absolutely.
Really quickly before we sign off, we'll go to patreon.com/newageinsiders. What's your match of the night?
My match of the night is the Lucha Brothers versus...
Me too.
The Young Bucks.
Cody was great, but that was... Mm-hmm. The Lucha Brothers
was
are
a different
awesome.
Kind of match.
The thing, Pentagon's and Rey Fenix, those dudes...
Unbelievable.
So good.
Dude. So good.
Like Ricochet level smoothness.
It was really funny. It was really funny because I did want to bring this up because I thought it was really funny. Do you remember a long time ago we did the draft?
Oh, yeah.
The NAI draft.
The DC Matthews?
The DC Matthews one. So I pulled up our pool.
Oh, Jesus.
Because I was curious. I was curious. I was just like, hey, how many of these guys are at Double or Nothing, right? God. Damn, man, there were so many. My entire draft were people that were represented on this show.
Is that right?
It was crazy how many people. But we should definitely do that as a Patreon show.
You laughed at me when I drafted that guy with no legs.
Yeah, right. Y'all laugh. I think that would be a really fun Patreon show, as we should revisit that old NAI draft.
We'll have to get DC to be part of that.
Yeah,
we
definitely. Will.
So, but we should definitely do that. The only thing that I didn't like match-wise from this show was the Japanese tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the women.
Yeah. The second women's match.
It was way too long.
It was way too long.
The pay-per-view was too long. The pay-per-view got over a quarter to 12. A quarter to 12. It should have got over a quarter to 11.
Yeah.
Too long.
You know, it's like, look, I appreciate that you allowed each one of the matches to breathe, because WWE matches are like 5 minutes. But
too much.
Yeah, having those women go 13 was just a little too long.
It felt like 25.
Yeah, was just a little too long for people that you aren't connected with and don't care about.
Yeah. Bill, what's your match of the night and your big takeaway?
Well, since you guys said the Lucha Brothers, I'll say Cody and Goldust, because it was a different kind of match, but it was unbelievable storytelling.
Final thought before we go to patreon.com/newageinsiders. John Moxley is here. What would you like to see come of that big signing?
I would love to just I would love for them to just allow him to be the creative that he said he wasn't in WWE. And so let's see what he has, right? Because yeah, now you've
how much pressure is on him? Because now there's no excuses.
See, I think that there is I think there is a lot of pressure on him, but I also think that he has a good support system, right? Because
would you agree there's no more excuses?
There though? Are no more excuses, but there's no more excuses in both ways, right? Because no longer is the creative a problem, right? Because you sat there with Chris Jericho.
You told me you're creative now.
And you told me you're creative, right? And you're going to be able to do whatever you want now, so it's on you. And from a talent perspective, yeah, you have a more consistent top-end talent that you're going to be working with the entire time, right? Gone are the EC3s of the world. And so now Hangman Page, Cody, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, yeah, you're still in the main event, but these guys aren't the Roman Reigns is who may not be as well versed in pro wrestling as someone a la Chris Jericho or Kenny Omega.
I actually think he might encounter the opposite problem sometimes as well, is because their roster is relatively thin.
Yes.
And so there are going to be times when Dean Ambrose, who has been used to wrestling guys with lots of experience, lots of specific kinds of training.
Yep. And he's going
to
wrestle MJF.
Right, right. And MJF is awesome, but he's also 23 years old and worked only indie matches in certain styles and stuff. And so we're going to find out how good this guy really is. And I do not mean that in a condescending, shifty-eyed kind of way.
I say that in an excited way.
Right.
Right, because I was very excited when the new jacked Dean Ambrose showed up, and that guy was completely different, and then WWE forced him back into the lunatic fringe box.
Oh, and you can say they ruined him. You can say
you know what I mean? But it was just like the guy that showed up and started using like power moves and not running the ropes and just mauling people. I was like, oh yeah, I'm in on that guy.
You're now creatively as free as a bird with all of the limelight of being a former WWE champion. So, and I mean this as open as it sounds, I'm not being condescending. We are going to find out just how good this guy really is.
Yep.
Right? And if you think I'm being like sarcastic, that means you don't actually think you have that much confidence
in him. The good thing is,
because I mean that sincerely.
The good thing is we don't have to wait that long because he's going to be wrestling at Dominion, I believe.
Right. And you're going to work with real opponents. You know, you're going to work with a variety of opponents of a variety of different skill sets and experiences. You're going to be able to tell your own stories. So I want to see how you work with guys that are different than you and train differently than you. And I want to see, yeah, okay, you're just bursting with ideas. You're pacing in the middle of the night writing promos. That's what you told me. Great. What do they sound like?
Right. Because
now I get to hear them. And so, and again, I do not mean that with like, break, no. Yeah. It's just like, but at the
that's
same,
exciting.
But at the same time,
but you got to put up or shut up.
Right. Hey, performer. Right. It's almost like one of those things where it's like, I promise I'm the greatest editor in the world. I just don't have the tools. And I gave you a Pro Tools suite. Right? I gave you $100,000 worth of equipment, put you in the best studio in the world. It's like, okay, you told me you're an amazing editor.
Do it.
Edit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I gave you the best stuff in the world. And so here we go. And for better or worse, we will find out what this guy's all about. We're going over to patreon.com/newageinsiders. Where are you going to preview NXT TakeOver? Where are they?
I don't know. It's 25.
Yay.
It's in Connecticut, actually.
The 25th.
We should go.
The 25th. NXT TakeOver. We're going to preview it so you guys are all set and ready for Saturday's big NXT show, which are always awesome and always worth watching. We hope you guys appreciated this, and we hope you guys enjoyed. If you did, patreon.com/newageinsiders. We'll send you a link. You can join us live. If you don't listen live, Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock on twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. You can still get everything through the Patreon app. Super easy. You get 5 extra shows. You can binge the New Age Insiders and help keep independent content creators going and growing. Patreon.com/newageinsiders. If you think your $5 doesn't matter, you're wrong. It does, and we love you. We will see you over there. Is there anything else you guys like to get on the air before we jump over and start talking TakeOver?
No. Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Yay! patreon.com/newageinsiders. twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. My name's been Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. The website is newageinsiders.com. We're live Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock on twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. And you have made us the premier place for fans from every universe where you can connect, discuss, and you can be heard.
We out.